Well, good morning.
Happy Canada Day weekend.
Hope you all had a wonderful time tomorrow. I know our family had a wonderful time together yesterday. Just a couple of announcements. Because it's July and August, we have a tradition that we started the last few years of moving the Communion Sunday off of the long weekend, so to allow people who are away to actually participate in Communion. So it'll be the second Sunday, which will be next Sunday, July the 9th. Do rejoice with Bernie and Dale, and continue to pray for their two great-granddaughters, Brooklyn and Rachel, who have now been released from hospital and are coming home. So we celebrate with you, and we rejoice and give praise to the Lord for his healing touch on your family and your children. Next week, as well as being Communion Sunday, we're going to have a little student send-off. We do have two of our young women now graduated from grade 12 and are heading off to university. That's Rishnika and Nadia. So we'll have a little celebration up here on the platform in the middle of the service, just to recognize them and to bless them. And I will ask you all to continue to hold those two young ladies up in your prayers. They're going off to secular institutions. God is not honored, scripture is not honored, but these two young women are deep believers and filled with the Spirit, and will need every encouragement in prayer from every one of us, their church family. So we remind you to do that. I did have a small Bible verse to introduce to our service today. But I was sharing that with Lisa just before the service, and she looked at me with her eyes wide and she said, "Well, that's what I'm going to say." So I'm going to ask, we'll sing the national anthem, then we'll ask Lisa to come up and lead us in our call to worship. As it is the Canada Day weekend, and we're very proud Canadians, and we love our country, and wherever we've come from, myself included, we love living in Canada, and it's been a great blessing to raise my family, and now seeing my grandchildren being raised in this wonderful country. So let's stand and honor our heritage as Canadians and sing our national anthem, O Canada, hymn number 806. And we'll sing both verses.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to read Isaiah 25, 1. And it says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. We're doing the songs we're singing today are mostly Chris Tomlin songs. And I was thinking, well, who is this? We do a lot of Chris Tomlin songs, and I know nothing about them, so I thought I'd look into it. And there's really not that much out of the ordinary about him. He's a pretty average guy. Except I noticed one little thing. He was planning to study physical therapy in school, but decided to not do that because he felt God calling him to do something else. So there's basically three things in that. So one, he had his heart and his eyes and his ears open to the Lord. Two, he obeyed and surrendered to God. And three, he praised God for it and continues to praise God in all that he does. So you guys got number one done. You're here. You're hopefully have your ears open. And hopefully we can open your hearts. I pray that you can surrender yourselves to God and surrender yourselves to what he's asking and calling you to do today. And as for number three, I will help you praise God today, right now. Matthew 18:20. Reads, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Let's pray. We meet you here, Lord, at the intersection of love and faithfulness. Here, prayer and praise join hands, scriptures is embraced, and our voices unite in songs to you. Speak tenderly to our hearts in this hour of worship, God of all creation, and show us the path to peace. Psalm 40, verse 5, reads, many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare.
Psalm 19:1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. There's nowhere we can go. Nowhere we can go in life, but our eyes open. But we can't see the majesty of God's creation. And it commands each one of us just to pause in that moment of wonderful sunset or sunrise, beautiful starry night. Calls us to worship the God of all creation and worship his majesty. And I'll say our ushers to come forward and take our baptism and offering. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessings that you showered upon us. Especially this weekend, Lord, we give you thanks for the freedom and security we have in Canada, the diversity that we share from every culture in the world. We give you thanks. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we return them to you with grateful and thankful hearts. We pray that we will use them diligently for your kingdom work here and beyond. Hear us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've only got one little child here. We've got Andrew with us today. So, Andrew, do you want to come forward and speak with Pastor Keith? Move to prayer, and we'll pray for all of our children and grandchildren. Father God, we give you thanks again for this wonderful weekend, this wonderful time of just kicking back and enjoying our freedom and security in Canada. Lord, we do pray for all regions of Canada, Lord, not just the affluent areas of Canada, like where we live in Southern Ontario, Lord, but the remoter regions, Lord, that have that struggle to really survive and thrive. Lord, we pray for our legislators at the provincial level and federal levels, Lord, that they're, you will endow them with wisdom, godly wisdom, Lord, that they will uphold the diversity and tolerance that we have in Canada, and their laws and legislation will reflect what the people want, the diversity and tolerance. Lord, we pray that for every man and woman who's gone into politics, gone into political leadership, Lord, we pray for them, their spouses, their homes and their families, for your protection over them. We pray for our own families, Lord, especially those who are not with us today, who have gone off for the weekend. Lord, we pray that they'll be safe wherever they are. They will enjoy time with family, with friends, at the beach, or at college, wherever it is. Lord, and we just pray, bring them all home to us safely, and we can once again share worship time and fellowship time with them. Lord, we pray for those parts of the world that don't enjoy peace and prosperity and security that we have. Lord, the world is full of wicked men and wicked regimes who want to enslave people to ideologies, totalitarian rules. Lord, we pray for your hand to touch those nations and those people. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on countries and leaders that are blind to your word and blind to your love. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking refuge in the freer part of the world. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions now, of refugees in camps and trying to make their way into safer parts. Lord, we pray we will open our doors in Canada to more and more people seeking to make a safe life here in Canada. Lord, we pray that we will be generous locally, where we know of refugee families that need help. We have so much, they have so little. We pray for our students, high school, elementary school, and college students who are taking a break now during the summer. Lord, we pray that they will have a wonderful time and be safe, whatever they're doing, working or playing. Lord, we pray for those who are still looking for summer jobs, that they will get the employment they need to help pay for tuition. And we pray for the families now that have got children at home. Pray particularly for mothers with little children at home during the summer. Lord, and we pray for our two graduating students, Nadia and Mishmika. Lord, we pray that their summer will be blessed with whatever they're doing, Lord, and they will look forward with excitement to the new experience of college and university in September. Lord, we pray you will send angels of protection to guard them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Surround them with your love. Keep them strong, Lord. They are strong young women. Lord, they've expressed their faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, and that faith will be challenged. People will attempt to undermine it, Lord, but let them stand strong. Let them put on the full armor of God and take their stand boldly, wherever they are. Now, each one of us has come here today with burdens of last week and the anticipation of the week ahead or the months ahead. We have items of praise and thanksgiving. Yeah, we have items of supplication. But the Lord is here, as Lisa said, wherever two or three are gathered, and there's more than two or three here doing it. Jesus is among us. His Spirit is here. He is not distant, he is close. The Lord is at hand. He wants to hear from his children. Speak with him now. Lord, you hear the prayers, the secret prayers of our hearts and our minds. You know what's going on in everybody's life. You know the heart. Lord, for those that need forgiveness, let them hear you say, you are forgiven. For those who find it a struggle to forgive, Lord, I pray you will put your forgiveness in their hearts. For those who are suffering, Lord, and offer prayers of supplication, Lord, hear their prayer. And Lord, send your Holy Spirit to this congregation, to all of our families, mothers, fathers, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Lord, bless each one of us. Fill us with lives that reflect your glory and reflect the hope and joy that we have of knowing you as Lord and Savior. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I spoke with Megan Waller, preached here last week, and she was preaching on the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the name of Jesus. And I spoke with her briefly because I didn't want to preach the same sermon but differently. So I spoke with her and I said I was preaching on Acts 3. And she said, oh, that would be fine. She said, that would be like a prequel. So it'd be like, this is the bit that came before what she spoke about last week. So I hope that turns out to be true. So we're in the season of Pentecost, and we are looking at the act, what's called in the scripture, the Acts of the Apostles. But in truth, we know that to be not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. These were just men like you and me, or men and women like you and I. They weren't had no special skill or giftedness in the miraculous area. It's always God that does the miracle, but he chooses to use ordinary human beings who are turned over to him to be agents of his blessing to the world around them. So we're in Acts 3. I'm going to read from Acts 3, 1 to 16 today. You've got your Bibles there. And it's, again, it's a familiar text to us. If you've looked at the history of the early church, and we've seen the things that went on very quickly after Pentecost, things really started to happen. Signs and wonders started to happen through the apostles, and this is what attracted the world around them to this Jesus character and who he was and who he is. So Acts 3, 1 to 16, I'm reading from the NIV, and I'll ask the Lord, would you bless the reading of your word today? Bless it to our hearing, bless it to our hearts, and bless it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Praise the word of the Lord. Amen. So I paused a little bit in that passage because we had all the grandchildren over yesterday, and they mocked my accent. So while I'm reading the word walk, I'm becoming very aware that that's a very British pronunciation. So words like water and walk and talk, my grandchildren take great delight in teasing Papa and trying to repeat the words with an English accent. So I apologize if I pause too much in the middle of the reading of God's word. But there you have it. That's who I am. Now, there are other passages in Scripture that talk of someone being healed from a condition they were born with. And we're aware of that. Children or babies sometimes are born with certain conditions that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. We have one of our granddaughters, beautiful girl, Cecily Cece, who has Down syndrome. Now, she's a beautiful child, and she's really progressing as well as she can, but she was born with that condition, and she will live the rest of her life with that condition. And it's a miraculous healing from God for her. But she's doing fine. But there are these other passages. There's this one in Acts, where the crippled man was born crippled. It says in the text, he was a man crippled from birth. We've got John 9, where Jesus is walking along, he saw a man blind from birth. And that's the man that he healed. And then later on in Acts 14, we have an episode with Paul in Lystra. There sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. So we've got these three stories in Scripture. And in preparing this message, I realized there's another message, because in all three cases, the healing was opposed. There was ridicule and there was persecution because of these miraculous healings, and Jesus was denied by the crowd. So that's an entirely different sermon series. But these people were born blind, born lame, born crippled, powerless people. And my question is, but aren't we all spiritually born blind to the truth? Lame in our ability to discern and understand the truth, crippled in our ability to walk in righteousness? Are we all born powerless to get it right? It would be fair to say we're all spiritual cripples from birth, like this poor man in Acts 3. I want to take note here that it is an actual story. We've moved from parables of Jesus now into the actual events of those first few years in the first century. This will be from AD 30 to maybe AD 50 would be probably the extent of the Acts of the Apostles. So about 20 years, maybe 30 years of that early church and the things that were going on. Luke recorded very accurately. This man that was born powerless, his feet and his ankles were unable to do their job. He was so powerless that he needed to be carried every day to the temple courts to beg. He needed to be carried. And I wonder if that's not a reflection, a metaphor for us in our spiritual lives, that we need to be carried. Because from birth, we are spiritual cripples. Until someone carries us to the cross, for someone introduces us to Jesus. David in Psalm 51 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Even back then, David recognizing that the human nature is broken and fallen. And when we look at the human condition, when we really look at it, we have to agree that the human, even though we are, as Psalm 139 says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, we're made in God's image, fearfully and wonderfully made. We're completely unable to get it right when it comes to living righteous lives. Even at the very end of the book, in Revelation 3, it says, you say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. There's a pride in the human spirit. There's a pride, I really don't need God, I really don't need forgiveness. But it says in that verse, in verse 3:17, Revelation 3:17, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. It's kind of a hard message to speak to one another of our loss and our powerlessness without the grace of God. We have no strength to stand on our own. Our spiritual legs are weak. Our ankles won't withstand us. Even Paul in Romans 7 says, I don't understand what I do. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. There's that almost despair. He, Paul, wrote half the New Testament. Right there, writes it out. And says, I don't get it. I don't understand what I do. And how many of us could, I won't ask, but how many of us, all of us, would raise our hands and say, yeah, it's tough like that for me too. I don't understand. We're powerless. We need to be brought to the place where we can be healed and receive strength to live righteous lives. We need someone to intercede for us. We need someone to step in and take action. And each one of us can point to that time where we needed help, and someone interceded for each one of us. In some cases it was more than interceding, it was interception. Someone who really challenged you and told you to turn your life around. And we were carried to that place of healing, which is the cross. We can do nothing until we stood or knelt in front of the cross and said, I'm powerless, God. I can't do it on my own. I need you. Now this man was crippled from birth. He was carried to the temple called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Now for 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have done that. We've reached out to individuals and groups who cannot stand on their own. We have so many people lost and crippled, trying to make a go of it without Jesus. Some people look like they're doing fine, thank you very much. But what's really going on in people's hearts? Where do people turn to in times of difficulty, times of challenge, times of stress? And if it's not to Jesus, then their plight is truly hopeless and they are truly powerless. Because human ways won't cut it. Peter and John said to the crippled man, we have nothing to give you of ourselves. They had one thing they could give, and that was Jesus. And this crippled man probably had no sense of Jesus. He may have heard it in the background noise of those days before, about another crucifixion. Romans got another one. May have heard his name. But he would know nothing of who he really was. And the man had only thoughts for his material needs. He was a beggar, wanted money to live. Maybe to give to his friends who dropped him there so they could continue to buy him food to sustain him. His focus was not on being physically healed. His focus was on money and material to continue in his current life. No expectation. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. He would not know Peter and John either. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, I've got no money for you. But what I do have, I can give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. How much money would you have to give a man crippled from birth, to enable him to walk. There's not enough money in the world, is there? There are not enough surgeons in the world. There's not enough wisdom in the world to turn that around. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There's so many people, including Christians, who are way too focused on the material needs of this life and our physical bodies, when what we all really need is Jesus. We all need Jesus as the center of our lives. Jesus is the love of God in person. He's the love of God, if you like, in human form. We have Jesus, and he is all we have to give. Some of you would know that I get frequent calls during the week, phone calls and knocks at the door at the annex, and our society's cripples come in. They need a ride, they need a bus ticket, they need food mostly. Some need rent. Some at the end of their rope. Society's cripples. We have many in our community who have limited mental abilities. They cannot and probably never will get any real traction in life in our society. They will always live at the edge, not knowing how to cope. They wander from one shelter to another, from one group home to another. These are not the lazy ones. I'm not talking about the lazy ones who are trying to get by on society's handouts. These are people who actually need help. They can't cope. They don't have even the capacity to look for work, let alone sustain employment in any meaningful way for any length of time. Why do they turn to the church? Why don't they go to the shopping mall? That's where all the money is being exchanged. Why don't they go down to the town hall? That's where the big shops are. Guys who make laws and bylaws and legislation, or Queen's Park. Why do they come to us for help? Why do they knock on your door? Because that's your door over there at the annex. I'm just the guy standing behind it. Everyone knows deep in their heart, even if they claim unbelief and they reject the notion of God, they know somewhere deep in their soul that the people who worship God, even the God they reject, these people help other people. That's the place I can go. If I go to a worshiping group of people, they're going to help me. And they hope that these people, those people at the church, will help them. And I have to say that you do. Thank you for allowing me to help the needy in the community by your generous, benevolent offering givings. That you have paid rent and food for many, many families in the years that I've been here. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But they need Jesus too. They don't know it unless we tell them. But we tell them what we do in the name of Jesus. I always ask them if they want prayer, if they'd like to sit down for a chat, I make them a coffee. Some come at very inappropriate times, you know, when there's an appointment or something coming up that we have to make time. Because they don't need just the money, they need someone to talk to. They need to hear the name of Jesus. They are all like the crippled beggar at the temple. They're looking for help, but what they really need is Jesus. This is the place of refuge. Where can someone, anyone looking for help, find people who in their hearts are ready and willing to help? For this cripple and his friends who brought him there, it was the local place of worship. Because worshiping communities have a focus outside of themselves. They look up to God for their own help and sustenance and provision, and they look out for others who are in need of such help. So the beggar was brought to the worshiping community, and there he found what he really needed was the powerful name of Jesus. Peter said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them. When Peter saw it, he said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" It's interesting that in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, in prophecy about the time of Jesus, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened." Jesus healed the blind man. "And the ears of the deaf unstopped." He healed the deaf. "Then will the lame leap like a deer." And here's the fulfillment. The lame man leaping and jumping for joy. "And the mute tongue shout for joy." He healed the mute as well. Prophecy fulfilled. But Peter understood immediately what the crowd would think. Being a pagan crowd, later on in the text it talks about them thinking that Paul was Zeus and John was Hermes, the pagan gods. And they even brought out bulls to sacrifice to them, declaring that they were gods because they saw this miracle. So Peter clearly states, this is not my power. This is not us inherent in this. This is God that does this. He said, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." The focus is Jesus and the power that's in Jesus' name. Everything we do in life, our whole walk in life, whether it's as a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, grandparent, great-grandparent, a worker, an employee somewhere, everything we do should be done in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And there's no power found anywhere else. There's no power in any other name, any other system, any other way. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I know that there are families among us and homes among us where there are challenges and issues. So I declare in Jesus' name, be healed. You have relationship issues going on. Well, in Jesus' name, be healed in that relationship. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what's going on in your heart, and you know, and you know God knows, I declare to you today, as Peter did to the crippled man, and we're all cripples of some sort, in Jesus' name, be healed. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this text today. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of the story, of the clarity of the way Luke recorded it, of the truthfulness of this event. There are no special words or special litanies or special hand movements that are required. There's no mental gymnastics that a human mind has to go through. All the power is in Jesus' name. Lord, you know the struggles of families and members of Christian Baptist Church. You know their concerns. You know every home where there's conflict. You know every family where there's division. You know every body that's got an illness or sickness. Lord, I call in your name for healing of this congregation. in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Just take a few moments now and just receive that healing in your heart from Jesus. Lord, thank you for your healing presence among us today. Lord, my prayer for each one here, and those who aren't with us but are with us, that you will bring healing and joy and peace to every heart, to every home, and every family. Because I pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Lisa, yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Carry his name on your lips and in your heart as you go from here today. Go in peace, knowing that God loves you and God will bless you. So I'll make another announcement that Daniel Locum, Eileen Brunson's grandson, is also graduating this year. I apologize for missing you off the list there today, Daniel, but will you join us next Sunday? Great. So we have three of our young people going off to university in September. Go in peace. God loves you. Bring that love to everybody else you meet. Amen.